The following program is created for informational purposes only and does not constitute as medical advice. The views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the host. If you think you may have a medical emergency, consult your doctor.
This is where the healing begins.
This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic, where it's not only about neck and back pain, but a place for whole body wellness. Listen this hour as Dr. Leanne is here to share her wellness education to help you live a maximized life. For more information, visit GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Good morning. Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter, Greenwood Family Chiropractic, 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, or you can always reach out, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com, that's greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com, to schedule your initial exam and consultation. Today we're talking about the liver. You know, that organ that helps us detox. We want to talk about how to support it, or some signs that your liver might be sluggish. So we're going to talk about why it's under attack, some red flags, signs, or symptoms if you might have a sluggish or overworked liver. We're going to talk more about the phases of detoxification, how your liver actually clears out toxins, and then some natural ways to be able to support it the best you possibly can. Now, if you've never listened to Maximize Your Life with me, Dr. Leanne, my inevitable goal is to bring to you more information. Because, and you'll see this with the office as well, sometimes people are like, well, just get me adjusted. And of course we get you adjusted. That's inevitably what we do as chiropractors. But I have always thought about this. One of the reasons why I feel we are successful at our office at Greenwood Family Chiropractic is because we really put a lot of stock in patient education. Now, what that means is that you can come into my office, say, hi, I have lower back pain. And I'll say, hi, get adjusted. And you're like, okay, for what? And you're like, back pain for how long? Who knows? But majority of people, like, you're an adult, I'm an adult. So like, where in my life has someone been like, you're going to do this? And I'm like, okay, sounds good. I'm like, no, what I want is to be like, why does my back hurt? Right? Is this muscle, ligament? Is this something that's more degeneration? Is there, rotation or whatever it means? Like, what's the root cause? And then when we do a deeper dive to get into the root cause, then we can figure out a little bit more what those action steps can be for resolution, right? So your spine looks perfect and wonderful, and you're just like, hi, there's nothing wrong with me. I just want to make sure that there stays nothing wrong with me. And you're like, yep, us too. Or if it's something, you know, I had a patient just a month or two ago who was like, man, my lower back's been quite achy. And some of the symptomatology, some of the things that he was experiencing kind of really brought us to, I think it warrants radiology, i.e. some x-rays. And he has a moderate scoliosis and he's in his 60s. He had no idea. He's like, yeah, I just have some flare up of lower back or sciatic pain every now and again. And I was like, sir, your spine is terrible. So I think just being able to say, hey, you know, when it's like, this is why your back hurts, or this is why you're experiencing this, this, and this. And I think it's no other. And then when people have an education about what is happening with and to their body, then they have the opportunity to make a better informed decision, right? I will say in any regard, I always tell people, the worst decision that you can make is an uneducated one, right? So then theoretically, on the flip side of that, the best decision you can make is an educated one. Well, most people aren't going to say, hey, I'm going to do my own research about degenerative disc disease, osteoarthritis. I was chatting to a random guy at the coffee shop not too long, like this past week, and he was talking about how he sees a chiropractor, but his wife has a scoliosis. And I was like, well, that's, you know, those are, you know, scoliosis, degenerative disc disease, spinal stenosis, osteoarthritis. Like those are the things that we really work on and specialize in. And he was like, I would have had no idea. And I'm like, of course, you know. And so it was like patient education started when you're not the patient in the coffee shop. I just happen to see him there when I'm doing admin work a bunch. So just having the opportunity, ability to say, hey, here's why. So similarly, even through chiropractic care, but in life, like, here's how you sleep better. Here's why. Here's where we can work on mindset. Here's how, you know, here's the science behind it. Here's the action steps on what we can do to make things happen. And inevitably, that's where we see people truly get to the root cause and become well. So today we'll talk about organ system being the liver. But before we dive into that, let's talk about some news.
Dr. Leanne's Health News.
Some studies suggest that too much sugar can literally mess with the brain.
Health News Now, one of the world's most commonly prescribed medications.
Today, the average American consumes 22 teaspoons of sugar a day.
Protesters say they just should not be forced to get this shot, not by the government.
For today's Health in the News, common vitamin could protect some heart attack survivors, study shows. So people with a history of cardiac arrest could protect themselves from future risk with one simple daily habit. A study at Intermountain Health in Salt Lake City, Utah, discovered that supplementing with vitamin D3 can significantly reduce the risk of second heart attack in those who have already suffered one. In a large randomized clinical trial, researchers monitored patients' blood levels for vitamin D while adjusting doses to achieve, quote, optimal levels, according to the press release. They found that treating heart attack patients with a higher dose of D3 cut the risk of a second heart attack in half. The findings were presented in a 2025 American Heart Association scientific session in New Orleans this past week. The study, called Target D Trials, involved 630 patients between April of 2017 and May of 2023 who had experienced a heart attack within the previous month. 85% had insufficient vitamin D levels. Participants were separated in two groups. One received targeted vitamin D treatment and the other did not. The goal was to raise blood levels to more than 40 nanograms per milliliter. Participants in the vitamin D treatment group had their blood levels checked once a year to determine whether or not they were above 40. More than half of them required an initial dose of 5,000 IUs. Most adults are advised to take 600 to 800 of vitamin D per day to maintain levels around 30 to 50. That's what the article says. I would disagree. The average person does very much need more than 600 to 800 IUs, but the participants were followed from March of 2025 to monitor their cardiovascular health. Of the 630 patients, 107 experienced a major cardiac event. Lead researcher Heidi May, who's the cardiovascular epidemiologist at Intermountain Health, said in a statement that no adverse outcomes were noted after administering higher doses of D3. She said, we're excited about these results, and we know we have further work to do to validate these findings. Up to 2/3 of people worldwide have low vitamin D, according to May. Sun exposure is the most common, natural methods of getting sufficient amounts of the vitamin, but has decreased due to lifestyle changes in recent years. I will add lifestyle changes, not being outside, and wearing an exorbitant amount of sunscreen. That was my words, not the article. Dr. Bradley Schwerer, a Maryland-based intervention cardiologist and CMO, Chief Medical Officer at Vital Solutions, was not involved in the study, but said it's been long recognized that maintaining optimal levels of vitamin D offer, quote, substantial cardiovascular benefits. Previous studies have established a correlation between low serum vitamin D and the elevated risk of hypertension, coronary artery disease, stroke, and heart failure. However, the prior research failed to demonstrate how effective vitamin D supplements were at reducing the risk of heart attacks. Notably, these studies have often prescribed a standard replacement dosage that was often insufficient to restore vitamin D levels. These new findings of a 50% risk reduction for a second-time heart attack, although encouraging, involve higher-risk patients and may not apply to lower-risk populations, they pointed out. So obviously, further research is necessary. It's important. This is an important study about keeping levels normal. Vitamin D deficiency leads to inflammation and blood clotting. Normal vitamin D values have been shown to decrease coronary artery disease, heart failure, and stroke. So they added vitamin D is more of a hormone than a vitamin, which is true, which is, quote, crucial to organ function, including the heart. So I thought it was just kind of interesting when they went in and acknowledged, but we do vitamin D testing in the office. It's a simple blood spot. So you just prick your finger, drop a couple drops, send it off, and they let us know. And what's so interesting is, I mean, my uncle had tested and he was incredibly low and started taking it and was like, he had noticed an almost immediate difference on how much better he felt. Same thing, I had another patient who felt like he was having like heart palpitations, but everything turned out fine. His vitamin D also incredibly low, and was really sad when he couldn't go to Prime IV for weekly injections anymore. Because if your numbers look bad enough, you do have to take it orally, right? Like through your mouth, but you can also, it just qualifies you for more regular vitamin D injections because it'll help increase that number even faster than just oral intake alone. So if you can, go ahead and get outside. If you live in Indiana and it might not be a time of year that you can, that's where supplementation is crucial. So they say they wanted over 40 for this study. I think that's wonderful. I typically encourage patients to be between 70 and 80, so twice that. They'll find not only myocardial infarcts, like mini heart attacks, broken bones, breast cancer, ovarian cancer, not Hodgkin's lymphoma, multiple myeloma, all of those are reduced when you have a vitamin D level that is high enough. And so in my personal and professional opinion, 40 is fine, but not ideally where I'd like to see some of my patients. So when we come back, we're going to talk about that liver detox, all things next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter, Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com to schedule your initial exam and consultation. Today we're talking about the liver. You know, that organ that effectively cleans your blood. I feel as if we as people, humans, Americans, have all of these like really wonderful organ systems and we're just like, I don't really know in totality what they do. But someone will be like, can I have a liver cleanse? And I was like, well, is it sluggish? What's going on with your liver? Like what makes you think your liver? Because really people aren't going to have liver pain unless it's not functioning properly. And usually by that point, it's like cirrhosis stuff. But so your liver actually sits right up underneath your ribs, under your right ribs, right under your right ribs. It's a lot of words. Right. So if you were to kind of take your hand and dig it up underneath there, it's your liver, right sided. It is a very large organ that works all day long to keep your body clean and balanced. So everything that you eat, drink, breathe, absorbs, goes through the liver. Blood from your stomach and intestines actually goes straight to your liver first. So what that means is food, medication, alcohol, chemicals, hormones, toxins, your liver gets first access so it can protect the rest of your body. The liver has millions of tiny little work areas. So what happens is that blood comes in, it gets cleaned, gets processed, and then leaves the liver healthier than when it came in. So it's literally like your body's blood filter. It cleans your blood, it removes toxins, old hormones. I think that's really important. I think a lot of the times when hormones are not regulated properly, we wouldn't think of the liver being, you know, a sluggish liver might be part of it. But different drugs and medications, chemicals, alcohol, waste products. So this is kind of the detox, quote unquote, detox system that people really talk about. The liver breaks down and helps with your hormones. So specifically, estrogen, cortisol, and thyroid hormones. So a lot of the times we'll see like estrogen dominance symptoms. If the liver is overloaded, hormones can build up and cause more symptoms like PMS, fatigue, mood swing, weight gain. And again, this could be excess of cortisol and estrogen. So your liver makes up a liquid called bile. Bile helps you digest fats, absorb vitamins, remove toxins and old hormones through bowel movements. So if bile isn't working well, people can get bloated, constipated. They can get nauseous with like fatty foods, or they have hormone problems. So the liver also has a couple other systems as well. It stores important nutrients, so vitamins, minerals, sugar for energy, takes over some excess sugar, iron. This is what keeps your blood sugar stable and your energy levels steady. Fun fact, the liver breaks down old red blood cells. So old red blood cells get recycled in your liver. This is what keeps your skin color healthy and prevents buildup of bilirubin, which is the yellowing of the skin if your liver is under stress. Obviously, babies, that jaundice color, but when individuals' liver stops working, that's where they become more yellow. Their skin is yellow. The whites of their eyes become yellow. Part of that process is the breakdown of red blood cells. After the liver finishes processing everything, it returns clean blood to your heart to circulate through your entire body. So, and fun fact, so you can use this as a party, your liver is the only organ that can grow back. So it's just kind of an interesting statistic about your liver. Now, your liver is responsible for all of those things. I was telling someone, it was like, if your liver could talk, it would probably say, stop overworking me, drink some water, eat a vegetable or two, and let me poop daily. You know, I think it's when we actually start looking again at just more root cause, when you have an individual who comes in, like we had a patient came in, was exhausted, was bloated, hormonal, couldn't lose weight. Her labs weren't terrible, but everything seemed to like just point to liver overload and lifestyle. And so we went through and made some of these changes and really like had more energy, wasn't bloated, hormones started to regulate, right? Shed a couple pounds and she really felt great. So I think that just that aspect of, you know, when we have the ability and opportunity to say, hey, here might be some of those signs and symptoms. So let's talk more specifically about there, because there's different phases that of detoxification, phase one, phase two, phase three. But generally, just generally, if you have signs and symptoms of a sluggish or overworked liver, I'm going to ask some questions and you can kind of mentally check these boxes to see if this does sound like you. So fatigue, so especially after meals, bloating or nausea with fatty foods, constipation or going less than once a day. Really, you should be going 2 to 3 times a day, like having regular bowel movements. So constipation is another one. PMS, heavy cycles, breast tenderness, those are all kind of signs of estrogen dominance. Skin issues, so acne, rashes, itchiness. Right shoulder or right upper back pain, it could be liver, it could also be gallbladder, you have to be careful about that. Chemical sensitivities, so if you are incredibly sensitive to perfume or cleaner, if you see big dark circles underneath someone's eyes, or weight loss resistance, especially around that midsection. So basically what's happening inside of this poor little organ is a lot of work. And if it's congested, you know, you've got to be able to figure out how to clean it out. So let's talk about phase one, first and foremost. So this is kind of like the breakdown, right? Like, how are we breaking down these chemicals, right? So phase one uses cytochrome P450 enzymes. And the design of this is to transform toxins, drugs, and hormones into more reactive intermediates. So it's like taking old food off your plate and into a messy sink. Like, the mess is technically processed, but it's not like good yet. So some of the different aspects that overwhelm, alcohol and smoking are one. I do understand that there is a time and a place for medicine, though I also think it is very interesting because, unfortunately, more often than not, we see that you're just not on one medication, right? Like, oftentimes you're on 2 or 3 or 4. And when these drugs are in clinical trials, they're looking at this one medication on organ systems. When in reality, if you are on, you know, they tested this one medication on however many people. But what if you are on 5 different medications? Like, they didn't test that one medication because it is like a pharmaceutical. It's a toxin compound. But then you're mixing it with 4 or 5 others, and that's oftentimes where you see a lot of those problems. So multiple medications, because it's just this chronic heavy burden. Chronic inflammation or underlying infections. This is one where I think it's so interesting, right? Because you look at this big aspect that comes full circle when you're like, this is what makes holistic medicine so hard, getting down to the root cause. Is, for example, they said, hey, if your liver is sluggish, you're going to see estrogen dominance, right? And you're also going to see cortisol, and you might see thyroid being out of level. And you're like, okay, so if the thyroid is out of level, and we're like, well, just give it a medication. And you're like, but why? Why is it? And you're like, but what if there is a chronic underlying infection that your body might have, and it can't fight it properly, and that's where. Or you look at, again, something that overwhelms phase one detoxification is high toxic exposure. And when you think about toxic exposure, you have to think of all of the different aspects. So, for example, like fragrances, and this isn't just like perfume, it's one of the things, but what about the fragrance in your shampoo and conditioner, and then body wash, and then face wash, and then lotion, and then hair, and then hairspray, and then perfume and lipstick, and right, like all of those. Like, if you were to look at all these ingredients and add them up and put them in one list, I mean, you have thousands of different chemicals that you are putting on your body before you leave the house at 7:30, 8 a.m. Pesticides, right? Again, often I will see patients who say, you know, it just doesn't make sense to do organic because it's the same. It just costs more. And I'm like, it doesn't. It does. It is not the same. When you're looking at that pesticide load that comes on, you've got to think, like, it literally is made to kill bugs, right? Like, there was, you know, you look at Roundup, for example, and there's aspects of Roundup that when a bug would eat it, it would make their stomachs explode from the inside out. and you're like, oh yeah, that definitely wouldn't have any problems with humans, right? And you're like, can't figure out why I got all these GI issues. And you're like, well, yeah, because it's sprayed with toxic chemicals. You know, with Roundup, there's a bunch of like class action lawsuits because they're like, hey, we know that Roundup causes non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. It's a cancer, a systemic cancer that goes throughout the entire body. You know, and like, of course. And then two, just different solvents. So you've got all of this stuff that we put on. And you're like, how does the body even properly break down any of these? And you're like, it tries through the liver. So you've got to think, that's just a small aspect of it. So different vitamins and needs and supports. Like, how can we naturally support this phase of detoxification? B vitamins are very important. B2, B3, B6, folate, which is B9, vitamin C, antioxidants, amino acids, right? Remember, proteins break down into amino acids. And so getting this from a good quality food source, how you can get that? Colorful fruits and vegetables, right? You can get it through citrus, berries. You can, different herbs and spices like turmeric and rosemary, all very, very good. But that's one where over that course of time, if you're like, hey, I have Epstein-Barr or cytomegalovirus, like you can test to see if there are any like recent antibodies from that. But the problem is, again, is if phase one is running slow, then phase one, yeah, it's like you've got this toxic load. That's where you feel extra toxic, headache, brain fog, irritability. When people say, I just don't feel right, but it's like, but the amount of pounds of chemicals that you have put into your belly over the last week and your poor liver is just working. And you're like, and it's probably just not a week of eating like that, right? It's probably a year or 2 years or 5 years or 10. Maybe you grew up like that your entire life and you just think, this is what I do. When in reality, you have an organ system that is working hard to try to inevitably save your life, because without it, you will die. And yet somehow we just, you know, we wouldn't think twice about smoking and drinking and putting out a bunch of toxic chemicals, not only in our body by eating them, but on top of our body as well. So now there is phase two detoxification in terms of liver. And we'll break down more of what that is and what it looks like next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. Hear full shows on the podcast link at freedom95.us. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Back, you're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter, Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, or greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. That's greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com to schedule your initial exam and consultation. Today we're talking about the liver. Phase two is detoxification. In terms of liver, this is one where I think it is absolutely huge and not talked about enough in terms of women's hormone. I remember running some labs and having, talking to someone, and they were estrogen dominant. And they said, well, maybe you have a sluggish liver. And I was like, those two things are related, huh? You know, and think about how many people, they're like, oh, you could take DIM or this or that. And, you know, I was talking to this clinical advisor and they're like, coffee enemas, which I'll talk about because it sounds crazy until you're like, oh, it doesn't. But here's one of the reasons why this is tied specifically to women's hormone. So estrogen is metabolized and conjugated in the liver. So gut bacteria with beta glucuronidase can deconjugate estrogen and send it back into circulation. That is the process on how estrogen dominance happen. And again, when you talk about like estrogen dominance symptoms, you'll see like irregular or very heavy menstrual periods, weight gain, like especially around the hips and the thighs, mood swings, fatigue, breast tenderness, bloating. They're more prone to headaches, decreased sex drive, anxiety, uterine fibroids. That's another sign of estrogen dominance. So I just think it's so interesting because you're like, if someone was like, hi, I'm carrying, you know, weight around my hips that I didn't have and I have these headaches and terrible menstrual periods. And someone said, have you ever thought about doing a liver detox? You know, 20 years ago, I would have been like, you're out of your mind crazy. But in reality, this is why it's so important to have a doctor who looks at the entire body, which is, again, one of the things that we do at Greenwood Family Chiropractic. So I do think it's important to pay attention and be mindful of those things. So there's a couple different phase, like big phase pathways to mention, like methylation, for example. It's one that deals with like estrogen and neurotransmitters. Glutathione, which deals with like chemicals and oxidative stress. But here's some nutrient needs. If you're like, hey, I really want to work on phase two, these are ones where you have to look at quality protein. I think it is so important that we are prioritizing protein. Proteins break down into amino acids, and those amino acids are one of the things that these like packaged or conjugated chemicals attach to. Another one is sulfur-rich foods. So think broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, onions, garlic, eggs, right? That sulfur smell on eggs that everyone's like, ew, and you're like, it's so good for you. It's so good for you. Minerals, so making sure you have like manganese, zinc, molybdenum, B vitamins, folate, which is specifically B9. And then again, greens, berries, herbs. Now, mind you, not one of those things was Eggo waffles. Not one of those things was Oreos. Not one of those things was Dairy Queen ice cream or Chick-fil-A. Not one of those things. And so I think so oftentimes when it's like, what are we putting in our body? Because not only is it not helping support those detoxification pathways, it's actually the root cause of a lot of the chemical problems. Now, the last phase is more so phase three. Phase three, again, is just the phase almost no one talks about, but it's where a lot of the action is needed. So this phase three, you have to excrete. Like, this is the exit route. This is how you are getting rid of, you know, what is in there. The way that things get out of your body is a few simple ways. Bile, stool, urine, or sweat. This is huge. I had a family member who got diagnosed with cancer, you know, and so much of that cancer could be toxic buildup. Well, I was telling her, I'm like, you got to sweat. She was like, well, I go for walks. And I was like, no, sweat. Like, sweat. Lymphatic flow breakdown, sweat. So this is one where from like a GI standpoint, if you're not evacuating stool, like you'll obviously like constipation, gas, bloating, a lot of skin breakout, right? Acne, hemorrhoids, feeling of incomplete evacuation, right? So you go to the bathroom, you still like you have more in there. So if someone is constipated, they're dehydrated, they're not moving or sweating, toxins get recycled. It's enterohepatic circulation. So basically, the body's like, all right, I've done my job, broke it down, wrapped it up. Now it's your job to get rid of it. And we're like, oh no, I am not going to eat a lot of fiber, so I'm not going to poop regularly. I'm not going to drink enough water so that all of the stool matter that is in my large colon will become stuck. And I maybe go for a walk, but you're never actually physically sweating. I think it's the craziest thing because I feel as if sometimes my body just craves sweating. And so you can do this from a workout. I think movement's the what Great Keep, like you can always go into different like infrared saunas to get that sweat out, but your body has to sweat. I think it's kind of interesting, especially talking about specifically hormones, and specifically are those hormones estrogen, is that when you take in high amounts of fiber, it can reduce the recirculation of estrogen metabolites by supporting bile binding and excretion. So I think those are ones where you're like, if you look back at the last 3 to 4 days, right, like right now in this moment, think back to the last, let's call it 2 to 3. Let's make it easy. How many fruits and vegetables did you eat? And if the answer isn't, you know, 7 to 9 servings of fruits and vegetables, so yes, that does mean, you know, 2 to 3 servings of fruits and vegetables per meal, then I think you really should reevaluate. Because in, you know, people are like, oh, can I have fiber pellets or whatever, people like scoops of it? And I'm like, no, I really want cruciferous vegetables, right? Like, I really want you to have more things like colorful plants, broccoli, kale, cabbage, Brussels sprouts, cauliflower. Those cruciferous vegetables are very high in glucosinolates, which basically help with like the detox and support hormone metabolism. So you're like, oh gosh, yes, eating fruits. And that's when you look at like DIM, for example, like DIM, they usually say, hey, this helps so good with estrogen detox, but a lot of it is coming from cruciferous fruits and vegetables. So what if you just ate not the processed one in a capsule because it was easier? What if you actually ate these cruciferous fruits and vegetables? I just think it would be so much different. So we've got to be able to open up the exits, right? So how are we going to do that? And I already said how you can help with daily bowel movements. And the way that you're going to do that is fiber from fruits, vegetables, flaxseed, chia seeds. You're going to hydrate, because that your water is reabsorbed back in the large intestine. That's the last port before you actually have a bowel movement. So if you don't have enough water, that's why that stool becomes very hard and stuck. You're not drinking enough water. I really like adding electrolytes to my water. If you don't, you can always do like a pinch of mineral salt. I do sea salt. Yes, all salt comes from the sea. But then the other one is you got to move. You have to move your body. It was so awesome. My boys went on a race with me. We did a 5K recently. And it was awesome because I said, you know, when I asked them if they wanted to run it, they seemed excited at the time. And then when we were out there, they became slightly less excited. I said, you've got to think, like, your body can, right? It's 3.2 miles. They were able to do it. It wasn't like I was a slave driver and didn't let them walk, you know, but that last mile really got them. And I was like, hey, just look right ahead. You see that bench right there? Once we get to that bench, you could walk. And we would run to the bench and we'd walk for a little bit. I'm like, all right, you see that tree up there? Okay, we're going to run to that tree. And then once we get to the tree, then we can walk. And we set these little goals. And I feel like for our health, we should do the same. Like, yes, you're not a 7 or 8 year old on a 5K. But even so, it's like, well, you know, I don't drink a whole lot of water. Okay, let's aim for 50 to 60 ounces. Right? Like, let's aim for 2 to 3 workouts a week. Like, regular physical activity can meaningfully improve liver fat. So, like, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, like, even without huge weight loss, you'll see a huge shift in that. So make sure that you're moving. Now, I did say, and again, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne. One aspect that you can add in is N-acetylcysteine. So this is actually a precursor to glutathione. Glutathione is a very strong antioxidant. This is one that's actually kind of interesting. I will say that I really ensure that when I go to Prime IV, I do make sure that I add in glutathione to my IV bags. because from a history of having like a family member with cancer, I truly think that prevention is one of the absolute best things that we can do. N-acetylcysteine is a precursor to glutathione. So cysteamine, glutamine, and glycine are the three amino acids that break down to form glutathione. There are quite a bit of reviews that suggest NAC, it also looks like NAC, can improve liver enzymes and liver function with some liver conditions, including non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. It's widely studied for its drug-induced liver injury for its antioxidant role. So people who take, you know, pharmaceuticals that damage their liver, it helps quite a bit. Now, really, cysteine is just an amino acid. It is present in foods like chicken, turkey, cheese, yogurt, eggs, sunflower seeds, legumes. So you can very much get it from foods. If you are not choosing to eat those foods, I would highly suggest, you know, it's like, how cool is it that all of these foods that God gave us, like eggs and poultry, it's oftentimes a really great it's a really great alternative to supplements, right? Like food, natural food. That's what we want to do. We have it in the office, Pro-NAC. So sometimes people just need to take a little bit more. The other aspects too. Yes, drinking coffee, like through your mouth, has been shown to 2 to 3 cups a day have been shown to lower the risk of non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, cirrhosis, and liver cancer. Coffee appears to improve liver enzymes and reduce progression to advanced disease. So now that's drinking. You also can have a benefit for coffee enemas. So that's not through your mouth. It's through the other end. This does sound crazy. I will fully admit this. But there is so like a decent amount of research. I think, you know, most people are not familiar with the Gerson therapy protocol. It's a cancer protocol. But they're ones that they do. I've had several people that I know go through this Gerson therapy, and it's several coffee enemas a day. So what happens is coffee enemas increase bile flow. So when coffee is held in the lower colon, the caffeine and antioxidants are absorbed through the veins. They go straight to your liver through the portal veins. And this stimulates increased bile production and bile release. So why this matters is because bile is one of the liver's main ways to eliminate toxins through hormones, chemicals, waste. So basically think like the more bile you are, the better phase 3 detoxification. The other aspect in why this is very popular in more cancer protocols is because it helps boost glutathione. Again, remember that's your body's natural antioxidant. They have found that coffee contains two compounds that increase the activity of glutathione S-transferase, GST, and it's a key detox enzyme. So studies show that this enzyme may increase 600 to 700% in the liver for a short time after a coffee enema. So not from drinking coffee, from coffee enemas. So that helps process chemicals, support phase 2 detox, and reduces inflammation. The other thing that it does is caffeine causes the liver's blood vessels and bile ducts to open up. This increases circulation through the liver, allowing for faster toxin processing, better nutrient exchange, more effective waste removal, which is why people are like, I just feel cleaner and lighter. But it overall helps with like motility. So people will notice better hormone balance because again, when I went through and they're like, oh gosh, yep, this patient is estrogen dominant. They're like sluggish liver, coffee enemas. So I thought it was really, I will share that I have done them myself. And, although the process working up to it was somewhat terrifying, it was really not, it just wasn't, it's not terrible. I think it just, maybe if you're not in the healthcare field, it seems very odd to do, but I'd rather do that than I would prefer to naturally do what I can through lifestyle, right? And so if you don't want to do that, that's okay. But you got to kind of support those pathways. Now, where this all plays into in line with like chiropractic care, for example, is that obviously lower lumbar nerves go out. So that's what helps with bowel movements. That's why a lot of patients will often bring their pediatric kids in to see us because they say, help them poop. but really we're just opening up those nerves. But the other aspect too is that the liver, gut, gallbladder are heavily regulated by the autonomic nervous system, which is your vagus and sympathetic systems, like vagus nerve. That very much has to deal with upper cervical when we're looking at like chronic fight or flight, or it's more sympathetic dominance. There's poor digestion, slowed bile flow, constipation, tight diaphragm, shallow breathing. So really, chiropractic adjustments help reduce sympathetic drive. So it increases that rest and digest. It improves spinal and rib cage mobility. So better breathing, better lymph flow. We've got vibration plates in the office. So that very much helps with lymphatic drainage as well. But then it helps support vagal tone and overall kind of that rest and digest mode. So it's not like I adjust your liver directly. I just adjust the communication lines your liver depends on. So just all in all, it comes back to that one system, which is your brain and the spinal cord. That is what controls all health, life, and longevity inside of your body. So just an aspect of being able to get down to the root cause. So now, if you want more information, don't hesitate to reach out. Greenwood Family Chiropractic, 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com to schedule your initial exam and consultation. Thank you so much for tuning in. Look forward to next week, but always remember that your power is on.